From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. We have got a really good show for you today. We've got Anna Gasteyer, who used to make fun of NPR on Saturday Night Live. She's going to come on to find out how much worse the real thing is. In the meantime, give us a call. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sarah Polster from Lakewood, Colorado.
Sarah Polster?
Yeah.
When you call people and you say, hi, this is a Polster, do they get upset?
They get a little freaked out. Not
I understand.
Lot, especially this time of year.
Right. And did you ever feel the urge to go be a Polster with your career?
Not even a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Your parents must have been so disappointed. We come from a long line of pollsters. Well, welcome to the show, Sarah. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a television personality and a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning. Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Next up, say hello to a writer and a comedian whose Comedy Central stand-up special is now available on iTunes. Ms. Jessie Klein is here.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good.
And finally, a humorist and author of the new audiobook, It's Just Like I Told You, 25 Years of Comments and Comic Pieces. It's available at a download near you. Mr. Tom Baudette is here.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah, you're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle right here will recreate for you three quotations in the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Ready to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Here is your first quote.
It was the ultimate test of leadership, a victory for our nation.
That was Tom Hanks, as you could tell from Carl's excellent impersonation, narrating a new campaign video praising somebody who, according to this movie, passed that ultimate test of leadership. Sorry for the spoiler. Who is the star of this movie?
Barack Obama.
Yes, President Obama. Very good. He launched his ad blitz for re-election with this 16-minute internet film. It's called The Road We've Traveled. They came at that title after some other attempts. Working titles were, No, This is the Greatest Story Ever Told. And Twilight Sparkly President. It's not so much another like Morning in America ad in which everything is great. It's more of like it's sort of like a disaster movie in which everything was awful and this guy came and saved us. It's like Snakes on a Plane, right? As a campaign film, and the ending is, hey, most of the snakes that were on the plane are gone, and those that are still here are thinking about leaving. Thank you, Mr. President.
How many times has Bin Laden dead?
He dies over and over again.
Yeah, over
He's
and over
coming
again.
Back.
Shouldn't his re-election video just be that clip of him singing Al Green?
Probably. Mm-hmm. That's
over
all,
again?
It is. All it is.
Just everyone taking their pants off in America. Did I say that out loud?
You did, actually.
Oh, sorry. That was all in my head.
Have you seen it?
Actually, I have. And the interesting thing about it to political observers is that it introduces the president's re-election strategy, and the slogan is more or less, General Motors is alive and Bin Laden is dead. That was Joe Biden said that. That's right. It's time for Joe Biden to come out. Because it's election year, so they went down to the basement.
This is going to be great for ratings.
They went down to the basement, and they were like, President Obama's like, release the Biden. And he like pulls the chains all over. Ah! Now, they went to a tremendous amount of effort to make this film. They brought in Tom Hanks to narrate it. Of course, they didn't use all of it. We actually found in the Internet Archive some of the outtakes. So, for example, here is the part of the film about President Obama overturning some of President Woodrow Wilson's key initiatives.
I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! I'm sorry!
That seemed kind of obscure. All right, for your next quote, let's hear a perspective on one candidate's firm beliefs.
It's almost like an etch-a-sketch. You can kind of shake it up and restart it all over again.
That was a man named Eric Fernstrom, who was, as of showtime, still the senior aide to what presidential candidate?
Mitt Romney?
Yes, Mitt Romney.
I thought... That was Fernstrom? I thought that was Romney's spokesperson, Mr. Potato Head.
No, no, no. Yeah, to punish him, they took away his lips. So he couldn't do that anymore.
He could have made a reference to a worse toy. You know, it could have just been, well, it's like, you know, he's like a Teddy Ruxpin. You just put a tape in him and he'll say whatever you want. And we're going to change the tape a couple of times.
It's a very powerful political metaphor, but it'll probably endure. Because it's, you know, it's easily changeable. It goes left, it goes right.
Just depending on how you
turn depending
on
which, and it goes up. And if you try to do that compromise thing, it gets you get that really crooked kind of angle. Yeah.
Anyway, this became a really big deal. Romney tried to dismiss this whole kerfuffle. He said that he himself was not an ardent fan of any toy, but many of my friends, he said, own hotels on Boardwalk. So immediately. This is true. Immediately, Santorum and Gingrich, who are his two remaining rivals for the nomination, they absolutely leapt on this. They started waving around Etch-a-Sketches at their campaign events, but eventually it backfired. Santorum got upset when somebody pointed out you could draw a naked person on one. And Gingrich said, "Wait, you can? Hey!"
Did anyone else ever do the thing with the Etch-a-Sketch where you would just spend hours like blacking out the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
I just remember like by the 10th time I'd finished blacking out the whole Etch-a-Sketch, I was like, I hope they invent the internet soon. What year is this? Come on.
All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
All the people who don't get to see it, their parents aren't cool.
That was 10-year-old Becca Lev of Newton, Massachusetts. She will be able to see what big movie this weekend if she has cool parents.
The Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games, yes. Very good. Writers and movie makers have been wondering what all those kids would want after they were done with Harry Potter, and it turns out they wanted those happy-go-lucky kids at Hogwarts to fight each other to the death. The Hunger Games, if you don't know, it's a dystopian novel. It's now a movie in which everybody gathers together to watch attractive young people attack each other on reality TV. Basically, the world of the movie is just like today's America, but with the cast of the Jersey Shore having bows and arrows.
I did not know that. I had no idea. I just know that it's being promoted everywhere.
It is.
And I'm waiting for the McDonald's Hunger Games Happy Meal to come out.
My 8-year-old, who's a voracious reader, has finished like everything. He started reading The Hunger Games last week. I don't think I really knew what this was.
Do you need?
I mean, he's 8 years old. Is this appropriate?
He's a boy. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you need to rush home and stop him?
Well, I may have to make a call. Can I step out?
It is.
And what is the object? They're killing each other.
The idea is like it's in this dystopian place where the horrible dictatorship forces people to send their children to fight each other for various reasons that I haven't read the book and I'm not clear on, but it's very exciting. But
it's good for parents to get the kids out of the house,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah,
it's a rather extreme way to get the kids out of the house, but I'll buy it. Carl, how did Sarah do in our quiz?
Well, Sarah, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye-bye.
We want to remind everybody that they can join us most weeks here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in beautiful downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, you can always go to WBEZ.org or you can check out our website, waitwait.npr.org. Okay, panel, time for you to answer some questions. Jesse, the special relationship between Britain and the U.S. is apparently as strong as it's ever been, maybe even stronger. According to Prime Minister David Cameron, at one point during his visit to the U.S. last week, President Obama did what?
Gave him like an awesome high five.
No.
Okay. Fist bumped him.
It was much more caring than that. Fatherly, even.
Fatherly.
Almost motherly, really.
Yelled at him?
Jesse.
We're learning so much about you.
We really are.
I will not let him hurt you. I will not.
Apparently, Mr. Cameron had a hard time getting to sleep.
Oh, he gave him an Ambien? Or Xanax? I swear to God, I came in here meaning to just be normal today. What happened? Wait.
Well, you know.
Lullaby?
Yes.
Seriously?
Well, close enough.
That's so much stupider than everything I said.
What he did was Mr. Obama tucked Mr. Cameron into bed, according to Mr. Cameron.
What?
Really?
This is true. With all that's going on in the world, the conflict, the global financial crisis, it is reassuring to know that the British Prime Minister remains as emasculated as ever. Mr. Cameron had a busy visit with the president last week. First, they had a cookout at the White House, and then they went to see a basketball game. So, of course, little David was getting a little overtired at the end of the day. So on the way back in Air Force One, Obama encouraged Mr. Cameron to use his flying bedroom and take a nap. According to Cameron, the president told staffers, quote, "Don't worry, the British Prime Minister is fine. I've just tucked him up in bed," unquote. What Mr. Cameron didn't say is that Obama also read him some bedtime stories like Good Night, British Empire, and a wonderful picture book about the modern financial crisis, Everybody Defaults.
And so, oh, okay, so, wow, that's just really, yeah. That's, gosh. You can't do that to Angela Merkel.
Well, Angela Merkel, you can't touch Angela
Merkel.
You can't
even give her a back massage.
No, I know.
Now it's time to say good night. Good night. Sleep tight.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Jesse Klein, Tom Baudette, and Mo Rocca. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Zach Spencer from St. George, Utah.
St. George, Utah, that is a beautiful place in southern Utah, yes?
It is a beautiful place in southern Utah.
I love it. What do you do there?
I actually am a realtor. I sell new homes.
Do you really?
I do.
All right. So are you selling a lot of those these days? Because I understand they weren't moving a lot of them.
We are selling quite a few. It's gone really great when you live in the Gulf Mecca of Utah.
The Gulf Mecca? Are you allowed to call something a Mecca in Utah? People allow you to do that, I thought.
We could call it the Golf Gathering Place.
There you are.
The Golf Tabernacle.
Welcome to the show, Zach. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Zach's topic?
I wasn't born with these bee-stung lips.
Walking around with a body you were born with is so over. If you haven't done something extreme to your body by now, you will be embarrassed to show yourself around the pool at the old folks' home. Each of our panelists are going to tell you about the latest body mod available to you. Guess the real one, and you'll win Carl's voice on your home voicemail.
I am very, very excited to try.
All right, let's hear it. Let's see how you do. First, we'll hear from Tom Baudette.
As the most self-indulgent generation in history, you just knew when the baby boom reached old age, things were going to get ugly. And so it has, with the introduction of Exoflex, the state-of-the-art external joint replacement system from Merman Laboratories. The patented biopolymer fastens to weak or damaged joints through the skin, reducing surgical risks and allowing for a variety of visible design options. "What's the point of spending $20,000 on a new knee if nobody sees it?" said co-developer Dr. Jan Buettner. This generation has been wearing their hearts on their sleeves for over 60 years. They want to wear their new elbows there too. Custom molded to body contours and just a millimeter thick, including articulating carbon ligaments, the bondable surface can be covered with a variety of fabrics, leathers, even devices. Get the snap-on duffer's knee with clips for tees and scorecards. Switch it over to the static-free ballroom dancer for under your tux at the club social that evening. For the ladies, it can even match your evening gown. Hip replacement? Nothing puts a bounce in your stride like a new joint and a fanny pack combination. "There are no end to the possibilities," claims Buettner, who denies being sent to Earth by the Borg from Star Trek Next Generation, but admits they do look kind of cool.
Visible joint replacements, customizable to your fashion needs. Your next story of a new body enhancement comes from Jesse Klein.
We're all used to being asked to silence our cell phones before we enter a theater. But if Nokia gets its way, we may soon be asked to silence our tramp stamps. That's right. Nokia has filed a patent for a tattoo with magnetic ink that will vibrate in our skin when we get a phone call or text to our cell phone. Grossed out yet? Hang on. It's about to get grosser. Nokia is also proposing that your cell phone tattoo have the equivalent of caller ID, wherein it vibrates in different patterns for different callers. This is why you'll have to think extra carefully about which part of your body you get tattooed. You might want certain spots to buzz when your girlfriend texts you, but no one wants that sexy spot on your inner thigh to tingle when mom calls. The downside of the tattoo is that if you want to get it lasered off, you may have to wait until your contract with Sprint expires.
Your last story of improving your flawed and natural body comes from Mo Rocca.
There are plenty of ways to carry an infant. The baby Bjorn is popular, but little buddy's legs dangle down and all too often kick daddy and his little buddies. That baby sling has its hippie charms, but is tough on the shoulder. In a medical trial, some Denver-area moms are taking a cue from Australian wildlife and are getting marsupialized. That's right, they're getting pouches, an extra layer of skin attached across the lower body. Anne Boris is a mom of four with a full-time job. It's a lot of pressure, she says, but when I can put the two little ones in my pouch, I forget they're even there. Her pouch has a removable and machine-washable fur lining. Occasionally, she has to clear out toys, pacifiers, and other knickknacks that settle at the bottom. My goodness, it's like having a second purse. And yes, men can get marsupialized. Bethesda, Maryland's Anthony Kalamitsis will soon undergo the procedure. His two sons are beyond excited. Quote, they watch a lot of kangaroo cartoons, he says. My only worry is they'll expect me to hop all the time, and I have bad knees.
So,
here are your choices. From Tom Baudet, visible joint replacements for the fashion forward. From Jesse Klein, vibrating tattoos to let you know in an intimate way when your cell phone rings. Or from Mo Rocca, attachable pouches so you can carry your kid around just like a kangaroo does. Which of these is the real story of an interesting new body modification?
Mr. Baudet's was so convincing. I'm going to go with the ExoFlex.
You're going to go with the ExoFlex.
That's what I'd do.
The hip and joint replacements. All right, that's your choice. Well, here's someone who is familiar with the true story.
Vibrating skin is more likely to grab your attention than a vibrating phone in a pocket, purse, or backpack.
That was Eric Zeman. He's a reporter for Information Week's Mobile Technology Beat. I'm so sorry, Zach, but Jesse had the right answer this time. You did earn a point, though, for Tom, so
thank you
for that.
And you're my
hero. Yeah. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we ask interesting people about something that simply doesn't interest them. Now, NPR has been around for decades and covered many stories all over the world, but when most people think of NPR, they probably think of our famous show, Delicious Dish.
Terry and I have been looking forward to having you on the show because we know you're the master of all kinds of Christmas goodies. Tell us about them.
Well, there are lots of great treats this time of year. Zucchini bread, fruitcake. But the thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls.
So, I'm sure this will stun you. That's not a show on NPR. That was a sketch on Saturday Night Live, as performed and written by Anna Gasteyer. Anna has gone on to TV and Broadway in her own one-woman show. Anna Gasteyer, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I'm so very happy to be here.
So, The Delicious Dish, the show that I wish we broadcast, who did you actually base your character on? Was it Steve Inskeep? It was Steve Inskeep, wasn't it?
It was based on, it was sort of a combination between The Splendid Table and a show with very aptly simply named show called Good Food.
Right.
On KCRW.
Oh, of course, the station out there in Los Angeles. And
yeah.
How did you did this skit with Molly Shannon. Did you guys develop it together? Was it your idea?
No, it's from the Groundlings. I actually did it when I was still performing at the Groundlings, which is the the improv comedy company in L.A. that I was a part of, and it came with me when I went to the show. So Molly was gracious enough to do it and heightened the comedy by being there.
And what's amazing about it is how well you do like a classic public radio personality.
Thanks.
It's amazing. Speaking as one, is there a secret to doing to talking like you're on public radio?
I think you have to really not worry about anyone interrupting you ever. And just take your time, because you know what? It's not commercial, and you don't need to go to a commercial. You don't need to leave. You just need to take your time and explore a subject to the point that people want to weep with boredom.
So you're a fan, then?
I'm a big fan.
So that was, of course, the famous Sweaty Ball sketch that Alec Baldwin did with you, and Ben and Jerry's put out an ice cream flavor called Sweaty Ball.
I know, it's very strange. Yeah.
did you try it?
Oh, yeah, we've got pints and pints of it in the fridge. My parents tried it, which I thought was the funniest thing in the world. My mom called. She said, "We've Dad laid in a supply of sweaty balls." Okay, and then she goes, "Zowie, is it rich?" And this is the greatest thing about my parents. They're so sweet and so supportive. They were so excited. They, like, ran out to Jewel Osco and loaded up on all of the sweaty balls. And they're both violently lactose intolerant.
Oh, my God.
So it made no sense whatsoever. Of course it was rich, because they were, like, doubled over for their first ice cream in 15 years.
Right.
You know?
But it was your work, so they enjoyed it. They were
having
horrible cramps, but they were cramps of pride.
Exactly.
So a lot of people who've been on Saturday Night Live tell awkward stories about their audition when they first showed up in front of Lorne Michaels. Did you have a story like that?
It's not that interesting, no.
Fair enough, let's move on. All right.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's terrifying. And they don't laugh, it's pretty terrifying.
Did you do any particular characters that we saw later on?
I did the NPR people.
Really?
Did,
you got on Saturday Night Live by doing that NPR character?
I mean, amongst others, yes. And I did Martha Stewart, which was a last-minute kind of decision to do an impression, because I wasn't really an impressionist. I just decided I better have some up my sleeve. And then, again, with the NPR up my sleeve, I pulled out my best Cokie Roberts.
Oh, did you? Can you...
Yeah, as you can imagine, it wasn't like an immediate hit character.
Yeah, well, it's also such a cliche. How many impressionists do we see that are constantly going to, like, do they do their Jimmy Stewart and they do their Cokie Roberts? Yeah. Come on. Can you do Cokie Roberts for us now? I've never heard a Cokie Roberts impersonation.
I bet I can't do it anymore. I mean, she has a little bit of a... let me try to do it. It's going to be terrible. I'm so bad at spontaneous impressions. I just told you I was not an impressionist, and here you are putting me on the spot.
You told me you did a Cokie Roberts impression. You expect me to leave that alone?
I said I pulled... Hold it out of my you know what.
You still have your you know what? Look up there. See if it's there.
she pulled out of my marsupial pouch. No, she just has a little bit of one of these sort of voices when she's describing things. She has a little bit of a almost like a Brahmin accent, and it was just sort of that kind of a thing. Which I don't remember anything about my audition. It was about 150 years ago.
But she got to do Celine Dion.
I did Celine Dion, yep.
Hilarious.
And, of course, topless Martha Stewart.
Yep.
Out of what sick recess of somebody's mind did that come?
You know what? Norm Hiscock, who I wrote that first Martha Stewart with, I had done the impression, and I definitely wanted to do her. And when we were kind of going over ideas, he kept saying, he was like, she's sort of like she's weirdly attractive in the way that your friend's mom is attractive. But in a way that you shouldn't talk about. So we just kept doing that over and over. And then finally he came and he was like, I have an idea. You're not going to like it. Like, it was one of those very, like, clean pitches. And then we decided to go. We wanted to make her as uptown as possible, but with a really cheap black bar across her chest.
Right.
So it just kind of had, like, a real cheap quality. And I got to SNL, and that was one of the first big sketches that I did. And where, you know, you go to the rewrite table and you're like pitching jokes and stuff. And I remember I said, well, what about like the Harlem Boys Choir? Could they be there? You know, in my mind, like, haha, ain't that funny? And then, like, within 24 hours, we're shooting it and the Harlem Boys Choir is there.
I am
topless.
You were actually topless in front of the Harlem Boys Choir.
Well, I mean, virtually, yeah. And it was one of those, like, oh, I shouldn't have thought of that or said it out loud.
Yes. Well, you're doing a one-woman show, a cabaret show called Elegant Songs from a Handsome Woman.
Yes. I have a little. I wouldn't really call it a one woman show. I have a little club act.
Yeah.
I have a band, and I stand in front of it, and I sing, and I kind of, you know, I have two personalities. I have this kind of crazy comedy lady, you know, and that people know, and then I did these shows on Broadway where I sang, you know, big songs. So I have kind of a Broadway audience, and I have kind of a not Broadway audience.
The people who know you from Saturday Night Live, where you were so funny, come and see you do the stuff that's more serious and get disappointed?
Yeah. I don't know. I think they become confused.
Right.
But I don't know if disappointment... I mean, that's a very parental word, isn't it?
Yes, yes it is.
I'm really disappointed in you for doing drama.
Yeah. All right, Anna Gasteyer, we're delighted to have you with us, and we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
I'm sure just one more can will give me those wings.
This week, the world bade a jittery goodbye to Chileo Uvidia. Now, he is the Thai billionaire who 30 years ago invented what came to be known all over the world as Red Bull, the energy drink. In his honor, we're going to ask you three questions about him and his product. Get two right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Anna Gasteyer playing for?
Anna is playing for Sarah Potter of Dallas, Texas.
All right. You ready to play?
I am.
All right. First question, why is Red Bull called Red Bull? Is it A, one of its key ingredients was originally made from bull bile, B, Red Bull was the mocking nickname that Mr. Uvidia was teased with as a child, or C, Red Bull is an English version of a Thai phrase meaning placebo?
I am going to go with number three.
You're going to go with number three, that Red Bull is an English version of a Thai phrase meaning placebo.
Uh-huh. Is that embarrassing to you?
Is that embarrassing to me? I'm really neutral with it, just so you know.
All right, then obviously he was teased as a child, because there's a mocking undertone to what you're doing.
I'm really fascinated with the level of your analysis. It's very perceptive. So can you make a final choice?
Yeah, I'm going to make a choice for number two.
You can make a choice for number two. The mocking nickname. Actually, it was A. It's actually made from something. Taurine, called taurine, as in, you know, Toro.
You didn't say taurine.
Well, it was made...
Listen, buddy, I may be dummy, but I took a PSAT prep class.
All right. Well, it was originally made from bull bile. Now they have another way of making it. All right, you have two more chances, though.
Right.
An energy drink as powerful as Red Bull does have side effects. It's suspected that a man who did which of these had been drinking a lot of Red Bull beforehand. A, got the first known DUI driving a Zamboni. B, tried to deep fry a compact refrigerator. Or C, lied about his visit to an iPad factory in China.
I'm just thinking Zamboni sounds like a comedy word. So we're going with Zamboni.
You're right. It was, in fact, a Zamboni.
Yeah.
This Minnesota man had mixed Red Bull and vodka and was arrested after parents at a Pee Wee hockey game noticed the Zamboni driving erratically around for 25 minutes during what was supposed to be a 10-minute break. So this is exciting.
I just have to ask how that was the Red Bull's problem and not the vodka's problem.
Well... Presumably, if it wasn't for the Red Bull, he would have fallen asleep and never would have gotten on the Zamboni. All right.
Fair enough.
Last question. Red Bull was banned in Germany after authorities said they found what secret ingredient in it? A, American beer. B, cocaine. Or C, fish oil.
Cocaine.
Yes, cocaine. German authorities say they found cocaine in it. Red Bull makers said... No, we use coca, but just for a little flavoring, they said. Carl, how did Anna Gasteyer do in our quiz?
Anna, you had two correct answers, so you win for Sarah Potter.
Well done.
Yay, Sarah Potter!
Anna Gasteyer will be performing her one-woman show at Joe's Pub in New York on April 2nd. Anna Gasteyer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. Bye-bye.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, Jesse Klein, and Tom Baudet.
And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Tom.
In just a minute, Carl experiences a very public embarrassment after his rhymey 2012 video goes viral. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, a man named Bob Worsley is running for the state senate in Arizona. He's a wealthy man running for office for the first time. That's not unusual. What makes him different is where he got his money. He founded what company?
He's not the Pet Rocks guy, is he?
He's not.
No, no. So. Drug Baron, no, because that wouldn't really be a company. I mean, it's a different kind of organization.
Yeah, it's true.
I think I need a hint.
You've heard of it. Well, he's the guy to thank for the life-size Chewbacca you bought in your last Delta flight.
Oh, my God. I've got probably three of them on my desk because I always, like, fold a page over and says, I actually could use an alarm clock that's a pill dispenser.
Yeah.
And it's the Sky Mall.
The Sky Mall. He's the founder of Sky Mall. Yes? Mr. Worsley threw his personal fire escape hood into the ring against Russell Pierce. Mr. Pierce was recalled from the Arizona State Senate and wants to win his seat back. But he's in trouble because Mr. Worsley was the founder of SkyMall and has all the resources of that catalog behind him. He can attack with replica swords from both Harry Potter and the Lord of the Rings movies. And if Pierce tries anything in return, Worsley can fend him off with the Keep Your Distance bug vacuum.
Oh, I really want that, actually.
You do? There you go.
No, it's
seriously,
great. It's
I do
great.
Want
no,
that.
I got it.
A yeah. vacuum. How do you keep your distance with a vacuum?
It's gonna got a long tube.
You know, without having to get near the icky bug.
I great. Hate to be morbid, but do you think that when Bob Worsley takes his last breath, he'll say, I'm going to that big mall in the sky?
It's possible.
Or do you think his tombstone
inevitable,
will be one of those zombies coming
oh,
out of
I
the ground
I want that.
Things?
I want that so yeah. bad.
Now, he's self-funding. We don't know how much money Worsley has to spend in the race because he's hidden his campaign funds in a giant fake rock in his front yard. Mo, New Jersey was singled out this week as the state that is the least what?
Oh... Well, I'm very pro-New Jersey, so I'm not going down this path. Have you
ever been to New Jersey?
Yes, I've been. I've been all over New Jersey. It's a wonderful state. It has the most diners in America.
That's true.
It has the most diners, and it has the most scientists and engineers per capita.
That's also true.
Yeah.
For the listeners at home, there's someone from New Jersey with a gun to Mo's head. He has not been harmed, though.
Okay, I'm not going to say it's the least fit. I'm not going to say it's the least polite, and I'm not going to say it's the least polluted. Is it any of those things?
It is none of those things, but it is something that we were very surprised by, given New Jersey's reputation.
Okay, something the reputation
specifically New Jersey.
Okay, it's the least hot tubby.
You have to limit this to 65
because I'm
guesses.
Thinking of Snooki.
The least hot tubby?
Well, because you're thinking, I'm thinking of Snooki, who is not from New Jersey.
No,
she's an interloper.
Breathe, Mo. Take this opportunity.
I was just waiting for your stream of consciousness to dry out. We are assuming whoever decided this must have accepted a bribe to say it.
It's the least corrupt.
That's what they say.
New
Jersey.
Very good.
Surprisingly.
Of what?
Of all the states.
Of all the states.
Yes. The words New Jersey and corruption go together like Chris Christie and endless pasta bowls.
I mean, it's like just... less corrupt than North Dakota?
No, yeah. It's the least corrupt of all states that begin with new. It's less corrupt than New York. No. Okay, sorry. But anyway, continue talking.
They got the highest, the Center for Public Integrity gave the Snooki State, as it's now, I think, officially called, its highest grade for fighting corruption. The survey looks at things like transparency and accountability in government, anti-corruption measures, and New Jersey scored the highest. Reached for comment, the various criminal gangs who run the state expressed shame and said they'd strive to do better. Now, keep in mind, if you look at this, the reason they're so good at fighting corruption is because there's so much of it there to fight. It's like giving an arsonist an award for best fires.
I think it's wonderful news.
That's great news. It's good news for New Jersey. Congratulations.
Aren't you from there?
I am.
Why are you? Are you a self-loathing New Jerseyan? Because you haven't identified.
No. Okay. I'm not a self-loathing New Jerseyan. I'm a New Jersey-loathing New Jerseyan. It's different. I'm fine. The problem is not me. Is what I'm saying.
Thomas Edison is from there, for God's sake.
He is.
Well, he's not from there. He was born in Ohio, but anyway.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and you can check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week we tell you how to care for the world's grossest plant. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Eric Englander from the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Oh, I've heard of it.
It's a great place.
What do you do there?
I do some real estate consulting, and I'm working on a tech startup at the same time, so kind of busy.
Real estate consulting in New York?
Yes. It's shocking, right?
I'm sure that's like, oh, man, no, you can't afford it. Trust me.
Yeah, pretty much.
There, I just consulted on real estate in New York. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you.
Carl Castle is now going to read for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. You ready to play?
Yeah, I think so.
Here's your first limerick.
Though John Carter aimed right for the top, it's a mess you can't clean with a mop. The exec's eyes get runny on how it bleeds money. To date, it's the world's greatest...
flop?
Yes, flop. Very good. It is official. Disney's movie John Carter is now the biggest flop in the history of movies. One of its many problems was the title. Filmmakers did not call the film A Princess of Mars. That was the name of the book it's based on, because that wouldn't appeal to boys. Instead, they called it John Carter because that wouldn't appeal to anyone. John Carter does not sound like a movie at all. It sounds like an old-fashioned euphemism. Oh, I was playing cricket and I took a ball right to my John Carter. Hurt like the Dickens. Here is your next limerick.
Okay.
There's a pair of nice shoes in this box, not the rubber clogs worn without socks. We've expanded the line of that foot fashion crime and have made some acceptable...
Crocs?
Yes, it was Crocs. Remember a few years ago when you found yourself having to renegotiate your relationships because significant others in your life started wearing horrible, ugly, pink foam shoes? And then one day, everybody looked down at their feet and said, "Dear God, what have I done?" Well, the company, the Crocs company, suffered badly from the inevitable backlash against their shoes. And this week, Crocs opened 100 stores worldwide to sell their new shoes that look nothing like Crocs. Their new slogan... we'll all pretend that never happened.
Years and years ago, I tried wearing Birkenstocks. They were popular in Alaska because everybody takes their shoes off in the house. And I wore them to New York one time on a book tour. And I had this New York guy showing me around my different stops. And I'm wearing my Birkenstocks. And at the end of the day, we're just talking. And I mentioned these Birkenstocks and how comfortable they were. And he says, "Oh, I thought there was something wrong with your feet." He says, "I thought I didn't want to say anything. Those are the ugliest shoes I ever saw. I thought you had like webbed feet or something."
He thought you were deformed.
Right, and
there's no other reason you would ever wear those
shoes. I never
wore
them again. They never even left New York. And that's my story.
Thank you. And here is your last limerick.
"You want a babies no more. That's for keeps. Go snip, snip. Take some rest on your sheets. While it laid up and lame, go watch your college games. I'll throw in an extra large..."
No idea.
Well,
great performance. I got it.
It rhymes with keepsa. Sheetsa. Comes in sizes like extra large.
Pizza?
Pizza, yes! Great news. We would like a nice pizza. A Cape Cod business is offering customers free pizza as part of its March Madness celebration. However, there is a catch. You have to get a vasectomy first. Evan Cohen is the manager of Urology Associates of Cape Cod. He said the pizza giveaway is a, quote, lighthearted way for couples to talk about contraception.
No,
okay, so here's that lighthearted conversation. The guy says, hey, I'm hungry for a pizza. And the girl says, hey, so am I. And also, I want you to be sterilized.
Right. Ooh, and oh, God, I'm just thinking, do they use the pizza slicer?
Yeah. Carl, how did Eric do in our quiz?
Eric was perfecto, Peter.
Hey!
I like that, huh?
Go ahead.
Three correct answers, so Eric, you win our prize. Congratulations.
Well done, Eric. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Peter, we have a three-way tie.
Oh,
Tom
wow.
Odette has 3 points. Jesse Klein has 3. Mo Rocca has 3.
This is going to be like the Hunger Games.
We've selected an order at random. Mo, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. The police chief in charge of an investigation of the killing of a teenager in blank temporarily stepped down on Thursday.
Florida.
Yes, after stockpiling $97.6 billion in cash, this week Blank announced it would pay dividends to its stockholders for the first time.
Apple.
Right, after Peyton Manning announced he was signing with Denver, Blank was traded to the Jets.
Tim Tebow.
Yes, President Obama visited an Irish pub on Capitol Hill to celebrate Blank on Saturday.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right, a Canadian cocaine smuggler was caught at the Smuggler's Inn in a car with a license plate that said Blank.
It said coke up.
No, it said smuggler.
Okay.
After having a naked meltdown in the street in San Diego, the director of the Blank video claimed to have reactive psychosis.
The Coney 2012.
Right. A London firefighter is recovering from minor injuries sustained when he blanked.
When his fish and chips set on fire.
No, when he tripped over a shoe while rescuing 3 goldfish. It was like something from a movie. The heroic fireman emerged from the flames of the building with 3 terrified goldfish in his arms, presumably moving in slow motion. And then he immediately spoiled the whole scene by tripping over a shoe. Thankfully, the goldfish and the shoe, at least, were unharmed. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 13 points, and Mo has the lead.
Well done, Mo. All right, Jesse, you are up next. Please fill in the blank. Officials said the 7.4 magnitude earthquake that hit in blank on Tuesday damaged more than 32,000 homes.
Mexico.
Yes. A statistical analysis released by the AP this week shows that increasing drilling does not lower the price of blank.
Oil.
Right, or gas.
Gas.
Ignoring the UN Security Council's call for peace, forces in blank clashed on Thursday.
Syria.
Right. The driver of a tow truck called to the scene of a drunk driving crash in Montana failed to clear the scene because he blank.
Was drunk.
Yes. This week, Safeway, Super Value, and the Food Line supermarket chains announced they would no longer sell beef that contains blank.
Oh, pink slime.
Yes. Jamie Whalett, best known for his role in the blank movies, was jailed this week for taking part in the London riots.
Harry Potter.
Right. A technical malfunction at a German donut factory resulted in a jelly-filled blank.
That's seriously the last question.
Yes.
A jelly-filled donut hole.
No, a jelly-filled person. Anka Friedman was cleaning the machine that fills donuts when it malfunctioned, injecting her hand and temporarily filling her with delicious marmalade.
That sounds amazing.
She's fine. Doctors cleaned it all out. She's now been tested marmalade free. Since then, though, Ms. Friedman's coworkers have confessed to an almost uncontrollable urge to dunk her in coffee. Carl, how did Jesse Klein do in our quiz?
Jesse had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. Jesse now has 15 points and the lead.
All right. And how many then does Mr. Tom Baudette need to win it?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right. If you win, Tom, not only do you get to be the champion, but you also get the Republican nomination. It's open.
And a vasectomy.
There you go. And a vasectomy, yes. Special offer, just this week. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, Jeb Bush announced that he was endorsing blank as the Republican presidential candidate.
Mitt Romney?
Yes. A 32-hour standoff on Thursday ended the hunt for a shooter at a Jewish school in blank.
France?
Yes. On Thursday, President Obama said he's expediting the approval of the southern end of the Keystone blank.
Pipeline.
Right. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was among those officially supporting a new investigation into the disappearance of blank?
Amelia Earhart.
Right. A Colorado man says he has no hard feelings after his stolen bike was returned with blank.
Was returned with painted.
No, it was returned with a note of apology signed drunk. The Los Angeles coroner's office ruled accidental drowning, heart disease, and cocaine use as the causes of singer Blank's death.
Whitney Houston.
Yes, on Monday, Apple announced that in the first 3 days they were on sale, they sold 3 million blanks.
Oh, the new iPads.
Right. The world of competitive chess just got a little duller now that the European Chess Union has implemented a new blank rule.
No drinking.
No cleavage. It's tired of its image being associated with heaving bosoms.
Yeah, I know.
So the European Chess Union has implemented a no new cleavage rule during matches. Judges say the new dress code is necessary because some sexpot chess players are showing up dressed, quote, like they were going to the beach, unquote.
Yeah.
But not everybody's a fan of the new rule. Grandmaster Garry Kasparov complained, quote, now I don't have anything to wear.
Well, I'm out.
Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
Tom needed 6 correct answers to tie with Jesse Klein, and Tom had 6 correct answers. So with 15 points, Tom Beaudet and Jesse Klein are this week's co-champions.
Well done.
I don't think it's that interesting when people tie.
No. I'll take the vasectomy. You have the pizza. Yes.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict, now that Mitt Romney has inadvertently revived the fortunes of the Etch-a-Sketch, what will be the next toy to have a surprise rebirth? But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and to the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Lindemood Bell Learning Centers for 25 years, helping individuals learn to read and comprehend. 800-300-1818. And Chevrolet, maker of the Volt, with 8 standard airbags to help provide safety from multiple angles. Details at chevyvolt.com. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with the Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Jessica McLeod. Our intern is Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next toy to have a surge in popularity? Ms. Jessie Klein.
I think the next toy to be revived will be the classic medical game Operation, which will get a boost in ironic sales when Tim Tebow is finally caught exploring his sexuality during his first ever game of Doctor with a New York Jets cheerleader.
Mo Rocca.
Well, with the continuing housing crisis, we'll all end up moving into homes made of Lincoln logs.
And Tom Beaudet.
The Slinky will make a comeback as the Snooky because it's interesting to watch and ultimately useless.
And if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Jesse Klein, Mo Rocca, Tom Beaudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagan. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.